This morning, we're going to be continuing through the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be in Matthew, we're finishing chapter 10 this morning, but it's going to be in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 40. But I want to paint this scenario, and I may have actually used this scenario before. We may have talked about this before, because this is such a real life example. Whether you grew up in a family where you had multiple siblings, or if you are a parent of multiple siblings, or maybe you've just watched multiple siblings, like kids, maybe you've been a babysitter or a nanny or a governess, if you grew up in the 17th century, you've experienced this scenario. You are a parent or a guardian, and the kids you are responsible for are at the other end of the building. But one of the kids is in the same room as you, and you need to get a message from your mouth to the kids that are on the other end of your house or the building. What do you do? You send the kid that's close by, because it's a lot of work. You'd have to get up. You'd have to go all the way to the other side of the house. You'd have to give the instructions. And that just takes a lot of energy. That's not necessary in this moment, because you've got a kid right at your disposal in the same room as you. So you give a message to the kid that's close by, and you send that kid and say, go tell your siblings. And Landon, you know the answer, right? When mom or dad, when we give you a message to give to your brothers in the other end of the house, what do you say? What's the first word that you say? The first two words? Mom said, dad said. Like, that's a very important preface to the instructions, because otherwise, you just walking into the room saying, hey guys, I have some instructions for you. That would not work at all. So you have to have the authority. You've got to have the foundational statement that, greetings, fellow children. I carry a message from the parents. Our kids, by the way, they call us the parents. I walk through the house sometimes, and I hear the phrase, the parents. Like, we're like, it's pretty awesome. I don't know quite what that means fully, but I'm on to them. There's something going on in there, in this house. But that's really important. And the kid's response to their sibling essentially equates to their response to the parent. Because that child, that messenger, that ambassador is carrying a message that carries with it the authority and the backing of the authority in the house, one of the parents. And if the kids reject that message from the ambassador sibling, they've rejected the message from the parent. And now the parents like frustrated, because now my plan didn't work, right? Now I have to actually have to get up and I have to exert some parental energy, some mental, emotional, physical, parental motion. And it's just one of those life scenarios. But we're going to see this play out a little bit. It's going to come into play in the text that we're looking at this morning. And here's what it says. And remember, this, over the last number of weeks, really, a couple months, we've been walking through this chapter 10 where Jesus is giving these instructions to his disciples. It's one of the teaching segments of the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is teaching his disciples about this mission he's sending them out on. And he's telling them, a lot of people are not going to receive you well. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to treat you badly. And he explains how to work through that, how to deal with that, how to expect that. But as he concludes this teaching moment with them, with his 12 disciples, he actually gives them a little bit of kind of good news, which is nice. Thank you, Jesus, for some good news here. Like, this was getting really heavy. It's like, your own family's going to turn on you. But now it kind of turns a corner a little bit. And he starts talking about those who are going to actually receive the disciples and embrace them and support them. And this is what he says. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. It says, whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now, what in the world does any of that mean? First thing, really the one big, if there's a big takeaway from today, that statement that would be on a slide up on the screen is this. It's get behind the preaching of the gospel. Get behind the preaching of the gospel. And here's what we see in verse 40. Jesus says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. It's kind of like if you ever took geometry in school, you go through these proofs, right? These logical things, like if this is true, then this is true, and it equals to this. That's kind of what Jesus is saying here. Embracing a messenger is embracing the sender. Embracing a messenger from God is the same as embracing God himself. In the text, Matthew is using this word receiving, or it's translated in the English word receive, which is a helpful word. I'm using this word embrace because when we're talking about receiving, or what Jesus is talking about when he uses this word, those who receive you, it really has this idea of, it's really multifaceted. It's not just listening to the message and saying, oh yeah, that's a good message. Even earlier in this passage, Jesus talked about people literally taking the disciples into their homes and letting them stay with them, showing them like old school Mediterranean hospitality, right? Like, I'm taking you under my roof. I'm supporting you, even financially, with resources. I'm helping you with encouragement. I'm helping you by endorsing and accepting your message. I'm helping you with resources to keep you going so that you can keep doing the work that you're doing of getting this message of the gospel to these surrounding areas and to more and more people. That's why I'm using the word embracing, because it's hard to find a word that really encompasses the full scope of what's really in view here. But it's really this, it's not just receiving the message, it's really all of the above. It's receiving it, it's embracing it, it's accepting it, it's affirming it, but it's also this very real, tangible supporting and resourcing of the messenger, getting behind that person that is in view. Okay? And this is where a lot of preachers might go down a really weird trail where they start talking about how you should give a ton of money, right, to their churches because God's gonna bless you if you give. I'm not gonna go down that road. And if you're new or a guest with us this morning, you should know that we don't I don't think I've ever preached a sermon. Those of you who have been with us for a while, I don't think I've ever preached a sermon about what people should do for me or how people should support messengers of the gospel, right? We're talking about this morning because this is what is in Scripture and what we've come to this morning. So it's always one of the most awkward things when a preacher comes to a passage that's like talking about the honor of preaching and how people should support them and all of those things. It sounds very and feels kind of like self-serving, but it's just what we see here. So I'm not asking for anybody's money or support, but I am saying that Jesus says this. He says that when people get behind his messengers, those who are going out, and in the case of the disciples here, their provision, their sustenance is based on the reception they receive from the people they're going to. They're devoting their lives to this message. They're devoting their lives and their well-being and their livelihood to this message. Jesus says, those who get behind you and do that, they're on my team. And he goes on from there. So the first thing, embracing a messenger is embracing the sender. But second, he says this, and this is wild. We're going to spend a little time on this. He says, embracers, again, I'm using that language of embracing, okay? I'm not just talking about giving big, nice hugs. Hugs are great, but embracers are honored as messengers. Just going to let that sink in. The embracers, or in the language here, the receivers are honored, using the word of rewards here, they're honored as just as if they were the messengers. The language here is tricky to follow, but let's just break this down a little bit. Verse 41, the one who receives, the one who embraces a prophet because he is a prophet, I'm going to stop there. The language here is tricky, and I don't know what Bible translations you may be looking at, or if you're just tracking with me here. In some Bible translations, you'll see the phrase, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. Because that's kind of the literal translation of what's in the text here. It's in the name of a prophet, in the name of a righteous person, in the name of a disciple. But many translations, they parse it out because basically it's one of those language phrases that can mean a few different things, but it really means what we're reading. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The way they translated it this way because this is basically what it means, okay? They're helping us out here with a little bit of the work. And Jesus uses these titles, the prophets, a righteous person, righteous men, and he refers to these little ones. These ideas of these prophets and righteous men, these would have been titles of people that the disciples would have been familiar with. We see references to these types of people in the Old Testament, certainly prophets, righteous men. These were labels given to people, just like in the Old Testament, people who carried God's message to God's people, okay? Some people think that Jesus is laying out some kind of like hierarchy that we should still have in the church today, right? Like we should have prophets in our churches. We should have roles and like righteous men in our churches, right? And that those are distinct from just regular little disciples. Grammatically, doesn't seem like that's actually what Jesus is trying to do here. Really, what he's saying is all of these people we could kind of lump together into this category of Jesus' messengers, God's messengers, people who take God's message to God's people and abroad. And here's what's wild is when he comes to the end of this statement here, these little ones, we read it, and on the surface, it sounds like Jesus is, it's like, what are you talking about, Jesus? You go from talking about receiving prophets, receiving these righteous people, and then you're talking about giving a cup of cold water to, like, little ones. You're talking about kids? You're talking about giving water to children? What does that have to do with disciples? What? Jesus isn't talking about kids here. Jesus is using that phrase, little ones. Whoever gives a cup of cold water, I'm just going to read it. Verse 42. Whoever gives one, I have to turn my page. Whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, whoever gives one of these little ones, one of these prophets, these righteous men, one of you guys, whoever even gives one of you a cup of cold water because you're one of my disciples, that person will by no means lose his reward. The person who receives you and aids you, even in the smallest way, simply by giving you a cup of cold water, that person's going to be rewarded. There's honor. And that's really, again, in this, the issue is not like the reward. People aren't going to be like, ooh, I'm getting reward. We it's so important that we understand reading about rewards and things in Mediterranean culture, ancient cultures, the reward in itself was not the important thing. The reward is a symbol that bestows honor on a person. We're really talking about people being honored because of their support for God's messengers. That's the point Jesus is getting at, is that those who embrace God's message and God's messengers, they are honored just as much as the messengers themselves. And that's really a big deal. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But as I was reflecting on this, again, this message, it sounds kind of strange, and it's a little strange to preach it without going into all the details of like, well, how can you support me? How can you, what can you do for me? I'm not going to talk too much about that. But I found myself reflecting on this question that I think is helpful for all of us to reflect on. And the question is this, and it's sad that we even have to really wrestle with this, but we do. How do I know if I'm embracing God's messenger or an oppressive self-promoter? A tyrant, basically. 'Cause it's just a reality. I mean, you don't have to try very hard to find a lot of examples of people who stood and stand on stages and even to some degree preached the message of the gospel, but the tone of their leadership, the manner of their leadership, what they do behind closed doors, the way that they treat people, has a lot more to do with building a brand for themselves and multiplying their influence and ministry in dangerous ways. And we've seen many, many, many examples, even in the last 5 years, 10 years. It's like the more years you add to the list, like the number grows and grows and grows. Of really sad stories of Christian, it's not just in Christian circles, it's people are corrupt and evil and abusive in every sphere of life. And those things, we shouldn't have to say those things are true in church environments too, but they just are. So how do I know if I'm embracing someone like that? And because there's a lot of people who have been hurt, who got behind somebody and then were shocked to learn like, whoa, I had no idea. Or they did know, but they didn't know how to say anything about it. And they didn't know how, like, is this normal? Is this, maybe he's just under a lot of pressure. Maybe, and you justify, right? And it's like you have, like, a trauma abuse situation, like, unfolding and, like, right in front of your eyes, and you don't even know how to respond to it. You don't, like, you don't know what to do. So right off the bat, something we can all just put, a way you can support me is pray for me that that doesn't ever happen to me, right? Pray that Kevin never becomes a jerk, egomaniacal, totalitarian church leader, right? But for real, seriously, right? It helps. I mean, having a small church helps with humility, right? Because it's like, you know, you're reminded, like, you know, hey, we're no big shows here, right? But here's a couple questions we can ask. How do I know if I'm embracing God's messenger or an oppressive self-promoter? Fill in the blank, whatever words or adjectives you want to use there. Couple basic things. Are they pointing people to the gospel of Jesus? That's kind of a big deal, right? Am I hearing and seeing the message of the gospel on display in their words, in their deeds, fleshed out that, wow, Jesus, who was God, right, who had it all, emptied himself, took on flesh, took on the form of a servant, and laid down his life for us. And he rose from the dead. That should be, that's like the pattern, that's the example for Christian leaders to follow, right? Not one of fame and platform and status, but one of actually walking away from those things for the sake of the people that he leads. Do they speak the truth in love? Important balance of those two things, right? Am I speaking the truth in love? Content matters, tone matters a lot. Maybe equally as much, maybe more. I don't know. I mean, it's at least safe to say equal. Content and tone. Am I speaking the truth in love? Publicly and privately. If you ever have a private conversation with me and I'm just like mean and snappy, maybe I'm just having a bad day. That happens. But if that's a pattern, if that's consistent, if that's a thing where it's like, oh man, don't talk to Kevin on Sunday mornings because he is freaking out, you know? It's like, that's a red flag. Do they practice what they preach? This is an important one. The next one, that's an important one. This next one is an important one. These are all important. Are they a part of the community or above it? This is the pastor or the messenger who talks about how important it is for everyone to be in a small group, but that pastor is not in a small group. That pastor is not a part of the community that he's saying he's leading. He's like, nobody ever sees him except when he's on a stage. That's a red flag. Pastors, we are a part of the church community. We're one of the sheep too, right? If we're using the shepherd-sheep analogy, we need shepherding too. Yeah, we have a leadership role. Yeah, there's an authority that comes with this role, being God's messenger, but that has limits to it, right? Another one. Are they empowering the people around them or merely using them? Again, there's some fine lines here, right? But this idea of empowering people, equipping people to grow in Christ, grow in maturity, grow in their ability to discover their own giftedness and capabilities, to develop those things, to implement those things in ministry in various ways. Or is the message and the ministry of a person? Does it look more like a machine where people are like cogs in this like ministry machine?